Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents...
Curtain Time!
Makers of the big new Mars Bar welcome you to Curtain Time. An eager crowd of theatergoers fills the lobby this brisk October evening, and here, also anxious to see the new play, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's tonight's play like?
It's a comedy, John, but there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center, seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, now that we're comfortably seated, let's have a look at the program. Harry Elders and Annette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time players, are starred tonight in Part-Time Husband by Bob Pieran. Mr. Elders plays the part of Jerry Drake, and Miss Sargent is cast as Claire Cameron.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of Part-Time Husband. The scene is the office of Jerry Drake, hunting and fishing expert of the Daily Clarion. Martin Underwood, editor and publisher of the paper, has just entered the office, where Jerry is slumped in his chair, his feet up on the typewriter.
Jerry, how are you coming with your field and stream stuff?
Okay, I guess. About 3 weeks ahead. Why?
How'd you like to go out on a story? Or an expose?
Great. Who do I expose, the mayor?
No.
Oh, shucks.
I want you to expose one of the writers on the Daily Chronicle, Claire Cameron.
Claire Cameron? Wow, she's the biggest drawing card they've got.
Exactly. She's their expert on love and marriage, but frankly, I doubt that she knows what she's talking about.
You do?
First of all, Jerry, I want you to find out whether she really knows anything about love.
Whether she... But how?
Are you kidding?
Now, wait a minute. You don't mean...
I do.
But, boss, I'm a hunting and fishing expert. I'm a sports writer.
Well, this comes under the heading of indoor sports.
Oh, but darn it... Oh, all right.
I also want you to find out whether she really knows anything about marriage.
Now, look, I'm not going to marry her. Besides, she's already married, isn't she?
That's just the point, Jerry. Is she?
Come again?
Is Claire Cameron really married, or does all that advice she hands out about married life come from books?
Well, she keeps writing how she and her husband George solve their misunderstandings, doesn't she?
Yes, but has anyone ever met George Cameron? Has anybody ever seen him? Or even a picture of him? No.
Say, you don't think...
I think George exists only in Claire Cameron's imagination.
Well,
I also think she invented him to lend authenticity to her column.
Gee, if I can prove that, I really have a story.
Exactly. Now get going and find out whether that dame knows anything about love.
Oh, now what? Come in.
You're Claire Cameron, aren't you?
Yes. What is it?
Well, my name is Henry Haswell, and I have a problem.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Haswell, but I'm very busy right now. If you'll just mail in your problem, I'll be glad to answer it in my column.
But this is important. You see, my wife says the poetry has gone out of our marriage.
Oh? Well, do I look like Edgar Guest?
But I'm desperate. Opal says my kisses aren't what they used to be. She says she's going to leave me unless...
Oh, very well. I guess I'll have to help you.
Gee, thanks.
Now, obviously, your wife is starved for romance. When you kiss her, it shouldn't be just an empty perfunctory gesture.
No.
No. It should be a highly coordinated, full-scale operation.
Well, how about a demonstration?
A demonstration? Now, wait a minute.
Well, why not?
Mr. Haswell, I'm shocked. What would your wife say if she knew about this?
Nothing. It's her idea.
It is?
Sure. She reads your column every day. She's got a lot of confidence in you.
Oh, but this is ridiculous.
Opal will be awfully disappointed if you fail her.
Oh, all right. Come here.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, first of all, you take her in your arms. Like this.
Uh-huh.
And then you brush your lips teasingly, tantalizingly, against her eyes and her cheeks. Like this.
Go on.
This creates interest and suspense.
You're telling me.
And then finally you kiss her. An ardent, lingering kiss like this.
Well, what's the matter?
When I said lingering, I didn't mean for the season.
Well, I guess I just got absorbed in what I was doing.
Yes, you're a very apt pupil.
Thank you, teacher. Shall we go on with the lesson?
No. Class is dismissed.
How about staying after school?
Look, Junior, you just graduated magna cum laude.
But I...
Now, here, I'd better wipe some of that lipstick off your face before you leave.
Well, what's this?
Oh, hello, George.
George? Not your husband, George.
Yes, I'm her husband. What about it?
Oh, how do you like that?
Say, who are you? I've seen you before someplace.
But I've never been there.
I remember now. You're Jerry Drake of the Clarion.
What?
Well, I...
Why, you lying, scheming, conniving wolf.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Cameron, and thanks for everything. It's been very educational. And then, boss...
Go on, Jerry. Go on.
Well, she was about to wipe the lipstick off my face when George Cameron walked in.
Oh, fine. There goes our story.
Well, not necessarily.
What are you getting at, Jerry?
Look, I'm playing a hunch.
What is it?
You'll find out. Right now, just sit tight. Hello, George Cameron.
Oh, it's you again.
Maybe I should have said, hello, Byron Young.
I beg your... How did you find out?
It was simple. I just followed you here to your hotel and checked with the desk clerk downstairs.
Oh, I see.
What gives, Byron? What's this George Cameron stuff?
I'm not telling you anything.
Okay, then I'll tell you.
What?
Claire Cameron hasn't got a husband, but she's written so much about him, people are asking to meet him.
They're asking to...
She's been making up a lot of excuses, but they're wearing pretty thin.
Oh, now, look.
But you're an old friend of hers, Byron.
Well, sure, but...
So, when she found out you were in town, she asked you to impersonate George Cameron for her.
Say, how do
you... Now, she's going to show you off, introduce you to everybody as her ever-loving helpmate, and after you leave, she'll tell them your company transferred you to Tibet or Outer Mongolia.
How did you know all that?
I didn't. I was just guessing.
Why, you... I ought to...
Relax, relax, old boy. And tell me, have you met Agatha Finchley yet?
Who?
You know, Claire's boss, Agatha Finchley, publisher of the Chronicle.
No, but I'm supposed to meet her tonight. Claire's going over there this afternoon, and I'm joining them for dinner.
You know, Byron, you may be a wonderful actor, but somehow I just can't see you doing justice to the role of George Cameron.
What do you mean?
Just this. I'm going to take your place tonight.
Why?
Yes, indeed. And I've got an idea. I'm going to have a lot of fun.
What makes you think I'm going to let you get away with this?
Because you can't stop me.
Oh, no?
I'm going to hypnotize you.
Hypnotize me?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Look at me, Byron. Look at me.
Oh.
You're getting sleepy.
Oh, don't be silly.
You're getting sleepy.
Oh, cut it out.
You're getting sleepy. 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 See, Byron, what did I tell you? You're sound asleep already.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent. And now, Joan Weigel. Tonight, I would like to tell you about a big new companion bar to Snickers and Milky Way, a new 10-cent candy treat called Mars, the Toasted Almond Bar. In every bite of this big new Mars bar, you enjoy the rare flavor of an extra-thick pure milk chocolate coating. And nestled in the heaping chocolate are crisp, crunchy, fresh, toasted almonds, all over a soft, snow-white nougat center. Here is truly one of the greatest of candy triumphs. For the finest quality candy bar of them all, just taste the big new Mars bar. After the next act, I will be back with rules for the big new Mars bar contest, so be sure to have pencil and paper handy.
Good time!
There's the call for the second act of Part-Time Husband. When Jerry Drake of the Clarion set out to discover whether Claire Cameron, lovelorn editor of the Chronicle, was married, he found out that Byron Young merely posed as her husband to give Claire's articles authenticity. So he decided to take Byron's place. Well, it's now the evening of the same day. Claire and her publisher, Agatha Finchley, in the latter's lavish suite, await the arrival of Claire's husband.
He should be here any minute now, Miss Finchley. I told him 8 o'clock.
Oh, I'm just dying to meet him, Claire. Tell me, is he really as wonderful as you say?
George is the perfect husband. Oh. He's good-looking, charming,
yes.
Lovable,
wonderful.
Generous, understanding. Oh. Oh, well, that must be he now. May I go?
Well, of course, my dear. Let him in.
Hello, honey.
What? You?
How are you, Angel Puss? Miss me?
Oh, just terribly, dearest. Go on, be it.
You darling. Hey, quit pushing me, will you?
Well, well, so you're George Cameron.
And you're Miss Finchley, aren't you?
Yes.
How do you do?
Oh, I'm very happy to know you, George. Claire tells me you're the perfect husband.
Well, I'm doing my best.
Oh, you're too modest, Georgie. You stinker.
Well, come over here and sit down, both of you.
Thank you, Miss Finchley. Come on, honey.
Oh, I could kill you.
Oh, my, you two look so happy together. Tell me, how long have you been married?
Oh, about 10 years.
10 years?
Mm-hmm.
But Claire's only 24 now.
Yes, a child bride, you know.
Oh. Well, I imagine you're quite proud of a successful career as an authority on love and marriage.
Oh, I am, but Claire and I have more important plans for the future, haven't we, darling?
Yes,
we plan to settle down and raise a large family.
Great!
Why, I think that's wonderful.
4 boys and 4 girls.
Now, just a minute.
All right, darling, have it your way. 5 boys and 5 girls.
Well, I'll be very happy for both of you. But I hate to see you leave, Claire. You're the star feature of my paper.
Oh, but I'm not leaving yet.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, my dear. Well, dinner should be nearly ready. Now, if you'll excuse me for a moment.
Of course, Miss Finchley.
Jerry Drake, where's Byron?
Byron? Oh, I suppose he's someplace reading Keats.
You know what I mean. What happened to him?
Nothing. He just sent me to take his place, that's all.
I'll bet. Why didn't he come himself?
He, couldn't get away. The last I saw of him, he was all tied up.
I thought so, you big creep.
Well, after this afternoon, I just had to see you again.
What did Byron tell you?
Oh, just about everything.
Are you going to expose me?
Yep, in tomorrow's Daily Clarion.
But I'll lose my job if you do. Please, I'm the sole support of my widowed mother and father.
You're breaking my heart.
All right, Jerry Drake, go ahead and laugh. But I'll stop you yet.
Jerry, how'd you make out yesterday?
Swell, swell. My hunch was right. She hasn't got a husband.
Great. Have you got the story on paper yet?
I just finished it, boss. As soon as I go out and get some cigarettes, I'll bring it down to your office.
Jerry Drake. Oh, Jerry Drake.
Oh, it's you. Good morning.
I've been waiting for you.
Oh? Do you want to read my story before it goes to the composing room? I've got it right here.
No, I just want you to tear it up.
Are you kidding?
Not at all. Here. See this?
Hmm? What is it?
Oh, just a story I wrote for my paper about a certain hunting and fishing expert.
Huh?
You see, if you expose me, I'll do the same for you.
You mean you know?
I found out all about you, you phony. You've never gone hunting or fishing in your life.
Well, you see,
But you've been regaling your readers with glowing, fantastic accounts of deer hunting and muskies as big as the Washington Monument.
Well,
What will they say when they find out your biggest game is five-handed poker?
But, oh...
And when they find out the biggest thing you ever fished for was a nickel in the return coin slot of a payphone.
Oh, you can't do this to me.
I can and I will. That is, unless you tear up that story about me.
Okay, you win.
Good.
There, are you satisfied now?
No, not quite.
I beg your pardon?
I want to congratulate you on your excellent performance last night. You were very convincing as my husband.
Thanks. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because you're going to keep right on playing the part, Georgie.
Now, wait a minute.
You heard me. You're going to be my husband just as long as I need you.
But look, I can't...
Tonight, you're going to take me to the party Miss Finchley's giving in my honor.
I won't do it. Then you can't make me.
Well, if you'd rather be an ex-hunting and fishing expert...
But you can't... What time does the party start?
Say that again, Jerry.
Honest, boss, I thought I had a story this morning, but I found out I was wrong.
Wrong?
Yes. Claire Cameron's really got a husband.
Are you sure?
Well, I met him.
What's he like?
Oh, he's a wonderful fellow.
I'd like to meet him sometime.
Well, I don't think you'd like him.
Oh, nonsense. I'm going to invite them out to dinner tomorrow night.
But,
Jerry,
boss...
I've just decided I want Claire Cameron's column in my paper.
You do?
I'm going to steal her away from the Chronicle, and I don't care how much it costs me.
But, boss, suppose they don't want to come to dinner.
Well, that's your problem. You know them, so you're going to ask them for me, and I won't take no for an answer.
Oh, it's been a wonderful party, Miss Finchley, but I'm afraid we've really got to be going now.
Yes, Georgie's right. It's getting awfully late, and I have another engagement tomorrow night.
I'll say.
Well, good night, children.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Finchley.
Good night.
Well, darling?
You can stop calling me darling now.
Okay, sweetheart.
But about Martin Underwood's invitation for tomorrow night, I've decided to accept it.
So I gathered. You going alone?
Oh, no. I'm going with my husband.
But listen, I can't go. The boss will kill me.
Oh, I didn't mean you.
Oh, but I'm your husband, remember?
I remember. But tomorrow's your day off.
My day off?
Yes. Byron's going to take your place.
Byron? Now, wait a minute. That's big of me.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, here is John Weigel with the big news you have all been waiting for.
For 6 weeks, starting tonight, Mars Incorporated sponsors a series of weekly word-building contests on this program. First prize each week will be...
$1,000.
Second prize...
$200.
8 weekly prizes of...
$25 each.
And 20 prizes of...
$5 each.
Each week will be a separate contest. And now... This week's contest. List all the 3-letter words you can make from the letters in the sentence, "Just taste the big new Mars bar." I know you want to write that down, so I'll repeat it. Just taste the big new Mars bar. Mail your entry along with 2 wrappers from the big new 10-cent Mars bar to Curtain Time, 919 North Michigan Avenue, Chicago 11. All entries must be the original work of the entrant. Each entry must be made under the name of the entrant, and each person may submit only 1 entry each week. Entries for this week's contest must be postmarked before midnight Thursday, October 9th. Any 3-letter word found in the latest edition of Webster's new International Dictionary is acceptable. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. First winners will be announced on Curtain Time, October 18th.
Remember, all entries must be accompanied by 2 wrappers from the big new Mars bar. So if your dealer happens to be out of Mars bars, ask him to order some for you. His wholesaler can supply him very quickly.
If you have not yet tasted the big new 10-cent Mars bar, you will find it is a real taste thrill. For each bite is rich with the luscious combination of the extra-thick pure milk chocolate coating, packed with crunchy, fresh, whole toasted almonds, and a soft, creamy, smooth nougat center. For the finest quality candy bar of them all, just taste the big new Mars bar. Remember, list all the 3-letter words you can make from the letters in this sentence. Just taste the big new Mars bar. And be sure your entry for this week's contest is postmarked before midnight next Thursday.
Here's the call for the third act of Part-Time Husband. When Jerry Drake threatened to expose Claire Cameron because she falsely claims to have a husband, he was stopped by Claire, who threatened to expose him as a hunting and fishing expert. She also made him escort her as her husband. But this evening, she's ditched him in favor of Byron Young. Well, Claire and Byron are just about to leave Claire's apartment when Jerry enters.
Well, well, Mr. and Mrs. Cameron, I believe. Going someplace?
You know very well where we're going, Drake.
Yes, but I don't advise it.
What do you mean?
Just this. In 15 minutes, I'm going to tell the boss the truth about you, dear Claire Cameron.
You're going...
And then I'm going to rewrite the story you made me tear up yesterday.
You'd better not.
I'm going to splash it all over page one of tomorrow's Clarion.
You don't dare.
Don't I?
You know what will happen if you do.
But I don't care.
You don't...
I'm going to quit anyway. I've decided to spend the next 6 months on a hunting and fishing trip.
Oh, no.
Well... What do you think of the situation now?
I don't suppose it would do any good to reason with you, would it, Jerry?
Not the slightest bit.
There's no way we can stop you either?
Absolutely none. Oh, by the way, Byron, I'm sorry I put you to sleep the other afternoon.
Oh, that's all right. Forget it.
Say, you're okay, but what's that you're doing with that coin?
Oh, just practicing.
What?
I'm an amateur magician. You want to see a trick?
Sure.
All right. Watch the coin. Watch it.
I am.
All right. Now, where did it go? Which fist is it in?
Well, that one, of course.
Nope. This one.
Oh, dear. Oh, good going, Byron. Quick, let's tie him up.
Okay.
Here, use this.
I'll tie him up. You gag him.
All right. This handkerchief should do the trick.
That's the idea.
Oh, there. That ought to keep him quiet.
I think he's coming, too.
Yes, he's opening his eyes. Hello, Jerry. Well, what do you think of the situation now? Dear me, what bad enunciation. What you don't say.
Okay. He's all tied up now, Claire. Let's go.
Goodbye, Jerry. Don't get into any mischief while we're gone.
A cigarette with your coffee, George?
Oh, thank you.
Well, now that we all know each other, I've got a little confession to make.
You have, Mr. Underwood?
Miss Cameron, I never believed you really had a husband. Not until tonight.
Why, Mr. Underwood, where did you ever get a crazy idea like that?
Ridiculous, wasn't it? You see, I... Oh, excuse me, will you? Someone's at the door.
Of course.
Stand aside, you blackguard, and let me in.
Why, Agatha Finchley.
Oh, dear.
Claire? This scoundrel's trying to steal you away from my paper.
How did you know?
George Cameron just phoned and warned me.
But he couldn't have.
No, he couldn't. He's been here all evening.
Here? Where?
Right there.
Yes, right here.
You aren't George Cameron.
If he isn't George Cameron, I'd like to know who is.
Hello, may I come in?
He is. He's George Cameron.
Oh, golly.
This is the end.
Look, Miss Finchley, you're out of your mind. This is Jerry Drake.
I am not, and he most certainly is not. I know him, and his name is George Cameron.
Jerry, will you please tell this poor, demented woman who you are?
Sure. I'm George Cameron.
See, what did I tell you? This is too much. If you're George Cameron, then who's this man?
Me? Why, I'm George Cameron, too.
Claire, will you be good enough to explain all this?
Yes, Claire, by all means, do.
Well, it's all very simple.
Uh-huh.
You see, after that, we... Well, not exactly like that, but...
That is not an explanation.
Look, let's get this straight once and for all. Which one of you two is Claire's husband?
I am.
What? Both of you?
Uh-huh.
So, two husbands, huh?
But, Mr. Underwood...
Well, young lady, no wonder you're an expert on marriage.
Claire, I'm shocked. Don't tell me you're really married to both of these men.
Well, no, of course not.
All right, then. Which one is your husband? This one or this one?
Neither.
Oh, I give up.
But I'm not married. I haven't got a husband. There is no George Cameron.
You mean...
There is no
George...
Well,
I guess I'll just leave quietly before the tornado strikes.
Claire, you're fired.
I'm fired?
Yes.
Well, Jerry Drake, I hope you're satisfied now.
But it's your fault.
My fault?
Yes, you and Byron should have done a better job of tying me up.
Jerry, my boy.
Yes, boss?
You're fired, you double-crossing, no-good bum of a newspaper man, you.
But you can't fire me. I've quit.
What? I won't let you quit.
You can't stop me.
But Jerry, I need you. You're still one of my most valuable men, even if you did foul up this story.
My mind's made up. I'm going to spend the next 6 months doing some of the hunting and fishing I've been writing so much about.
But I'm going... Oh,
All right. Go ahead. You can use my hunting lodge up north.
Thanks, boss.
And when you come back, your job will be waiting for you.
Swell. You won't regret it, I promise you. I'll be writing a much better column.
Oh, I think that's a very intelligent idea. Claire?
What is it, Miss Pinchley?
Claire, would you like to have your job back?
Would I?
Very well. I want you to find a husband and...
Find a husband?
Yes. And in 6 months, I'll let you come back to work.
Oh, but this is ridiculous. Why, it's fantastic.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Why, whom would I marry?
Darling, are you kidding?
You mean, I should say not. But why not?
Yes, why not?
Look, Claire, I've been playing the part of your husband these last few days, and I love the job.
Well, you can consider yourself fired.
But you can't fire me now, just when I want to sign a lifetime contract.
I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on Earth.
But, darling, I love you, don't you understand?
Look, Jerry Drake, get this through your prehistoric skull. I hate you, and I'll never forgive you for what you did tonight. Never.
Oh, nuts.
Have you tried phoning her, Jerry?
Yes, once.
Well?
Her voice was so cold, my ear got frostbitten.
Maybe you gave up too soon.
Not a chance. She just hasn't got any use for me, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, well, a couple of weeks up at my hunting lodge, and you'll forget all about her.
Maybe. But I'd give anything if she were going with me.
Oh, say, here's the courthouse. Do you mind if we go in for a few minutes? I've got a little business.
No, I don't mind.
By the way, Jerry, while we're in here, why don't you get your hunting and fishing licenses?
Say, that's a good idea. I'll do that.
Well, just fall in the end of the line here, Jerry.
Okay.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
I wonder what he's laughing about.
Ouch!
Oh, I'm sorry. Claire!
Oh, hello, Jerry.
Claire, what are you doing here?
Same thing you are. Getting a license.
A hunting license?
No.
Well, a fishing license?
No.
Hey, why am I asking you these dumb questions? Listen, Claire, I love you.
Honestly?
Cross my heart.
Oh, Jerry, I've been so miserable.
You have?
When you stopped phoning, I was afraid I'd never see you again.
Oh, Claire.
Oh, darling, hold me tight.
Claire, will you marry me?
Why, what a silly question.
Silly?
Look at the sign over the window.
The sign? Well, I'll be a married man. It's the marriage license window.
The curtain falls on the last act of another Curtain Time play starring Harry Elders and Nana Sargent. The supporting players were Geraldine Kay, George Caesar, and Maurice Copeland. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. The stars of Curtain Time with a word about next week's play.
Well, next Saturday, Pat, Nanette's a financial expert.
I know about bulls and bears and all that sort of thing.
But what happens?
That we're not going to tell you, Pat.
All we have to say is that the play's called Ticker Tape Romance.
Which means there's nothing for me to do but wait.
Right.
Well, thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elder.
Good night, Pat.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when we will again present...
Curtain Time!
Each week, Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time and another big Mars Bar contest.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ, NBC in Chicago. 7 p.m. BUL OVA, Bulova Watch Time.